thoughts create physical changes in your on a cellular level in your body. So, you know, if you're a kind of logical person like me, that's really, really motivating, because you know that by what you think, you can actually change your environment.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko.
James Schranko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. You're listening to episode 2 of the Power Focus series, and I have my special guest, Anita Chaperon, back with me. Welcome back.
Hey.
So if you haven't listened to the first episode, please go back to episode 1, which is how to create your MPR, where in that episode we actually talk about what an MPR is. Hint, it's a morning power routine. We talked about it, improving your confidence. We went through an acronym that explains the 6 different steps to having a morning power routine. And I even checked that Anita did her power routine prior to the call, and she passed with flying colors. So today we're going to talk about execution and how we turn this MPR into a habit.
Yeah, absolutely. So the most important thing to note here is that the best kind of information in the world is not going to make a blind bit of difference to your life unless you actually put it into action. So the 1% Club, we strongly believe that, action trumps theory. That's actually one of our little taglines. So today we want to talk about how do you put it into action, and more importantly, how do you create a habit out of it so that you don't have to agonize over it and think about it every single day. It just happens because it's a part of your life. So in the previous episode, we spoke about how to actually figure out what the elements of your MPR are going to be. And once you've taken stock of your existing MPR, then you've plugged in the gaps according to the Savers model, then you come to this point. And at which point you've got to decide, you know, you've got to define how long you're going to spend on each one of the elements. And what we found actually in the third episode, I'm going to give you a few tips on this, the things you must have in your MPR if it is to work in the easiest way possible. But for the moment, basically, once you've lined up your elements, you need to put a little bit of thought of how you want to sequence them. And this is very important because it goes back to how that routine is going to flow. Remember, the only reason why you're doing this MPR is to empower you and to set you up in the best possible way for your day, whether it's business or personal. So you want to think about how you're going to sequence these elements and what suits you best, what works for you. The way I found for my personal sequence is the way it works best is if I do my journaling first, so the scribing, because that clears my mind, and then I can go into my meditation, which can now be as quiet as possible because obviously we all have monkeys running around in our brain. And then I would move into my affirmations because now I've cleared the slate with the meditation. I do my affirmations and then I reinforce it with the visualization in the theater of my mind, as Maxwell Maltz says. And then I would finish the entire sequence with my sun salutations, which usually take me about 10 minutes. They're quite intense. They get the blood flowing. They make me breathe, you know, with full intensity, which is really, really good for the brain as well. So once I come out of the exercise segment, I'm really ready for my day. I'm full of energy and I just want to execute. So that's basically as far as, you know, you can see how for me that flows really well because it's got a sequence. For some people, it's different. Some people would start with the exercise because they want to refresh themselves and get themselves going. And then they'll do breakfast and give themselves some time, and then they'll do journaling, meditation, reading, etc. So find what works for you. The second step is to decide how long you're going to do each element for. And I would advise you very strongly to start with the minimum amount. Get that done into your routine first, and then you can increase it. Like, for example, a common mistake that I see with the people I work with is they'll decide to meditate and they'll go, okay, fine, I'll meditate for 15 minutes. And, you know, 15 minutes doesn't seem like a lot, but when you have to sit still with the monkeys in your brain, it's like eternity. So rather start with 5 minutes and then allow yourself to be a little bit rubbish at it at first. And then just, you know, consistency is your only objective at this stage.
So when you say your routine, you know, how it works for you, how did you actually determine that?
So, yeah, so basically I would go through the savers element and run each one through the filter of, you know, what are you trying to achieve? What's in the first episode, we spoke about what is your end goal, right? Why are you doing this power routine? So run each element through those filters. And if it helps you get to those, to that end goal, then implement it. And then also ask yourself, well, do I want to journal full on for 20 minutes or do I just want to do 5 minutes? Or do I want to meditate for 5 minutes or can I actually do it for 20? Do I have the time to do it, et cetera? You know, it depends, because if you've got kids, for example, you've got to be really, really cautious as to what you include. And a lot of the people that do have kids and very little sleep with young kids especially, they'll opt to do just three elements because those three elements bring them the most value, the most effect in their day. So they'll do exercise, they'll do meditation and journaling, and that's it. So
does it have to be in the morning?
So the point of a morning power routine is to set you up for the day ahead, yes. So I know you mentioned that you do a few things.
Yeah, because I don't want to feel guilty about it or anything, but it's kind of like this is the weirdest thing. It's kind of counterintuitive, but I found a way for me to be powered up in the morning is to make sure that I go to bed early enough. So if I'm getting into a habit of going to bed at the right time, I actually set an alarm for 10 o'clock, which is when I need to go to bed, basically. I need to have my cookies and milk. I don't really. I know either of those things are banned from your food thing, so I thought that would be inflammatory. I set an alarm for 10 p.m. so that I'm powered up for the next day, and that just sounds crazy when you say it out loud, but I found if I have a stop time, that's when I purge my head and do my daily journal, which I call fly on the wall or progress journal. And that releases my brain to then sleep. My brain's quiet. I've got no monkeys running around while I'm trying to go to sleep. And the surfing I've got covered. I do that in the morning and in the evening. So that's all good.
So, yeah, so there's a few aspects to that. One is you've been doing what you've been doing for quite a long time. You're very well read as well. And that all has an impact on the discipline. Plus, you already do a few set things in the morning that already, you know, that cleanse you and prepare you for the day.
Oh, like my first thing is I want to go and get a glass of water. That's like the first thing I want to do when I wake up is I go out, I get a glass of water, and then I grab my binoculars and I'm checking conditions. But that's the first thing is that glass of water. And then I'm thinking food, and I'm just quietly surveying the conditions with my binoculars, and then I'll sort of combine my exercise and visualization. It, often when I'm sitting out the back, if you know anyone who surfs, out of an hour surfing, you're probably spending a lot of time just sitting out the back waiting for the right wave to come along. So you have that combination effect, if you like, of exercise, visualizations. And then really that just leads me to the reading. I've had a good combo of stuff, and then I do my journaling at night. So is that something that you'd recommend I change or just keep doing?
Well, you can definitely test journaling in the morning as well.
It'd be really short. It'd be like, yeah, so I've slept and now I'm awake. But I know what you mean. It's like I've got big plans for today and, I feel blah, 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 and stuff like that. I get it. I can see why it would be interesting, but I'm torn.
No, but don't be torn. It's, you know, this is why I was saying that you've got to experience in this, and this is what works best for you. And the things you've described pretty much describes my morning routine as well, except that you've got different elements that fill you up, you know, in terms of spirit, in terms of feeling empowered for the day and like you living your best life, right? As opposed to.
Yeah, I'm always benchmarking off the result part of that component. In the episode one, we talked about status quo, result, and why. And my status quo is like my ultimate. It's basically I'm happy with what I've got.
Yeah.
And that's always the goal. If I'm not, I change it because my why is right there and I instantly kick in with change.
Well, exactly. It goes back to, you know, if you don't have a reason to change it, don't change it, you know, if it's working. But also there's the other kind of catch to that is, okay, you excluding, but a lot of people wouldn't know if this is the best thing that they can do for themselves.
Especially if you're starting out.
Yeah.
And if any of the concepts we've talked about are unfamiliar, then it's got to be exciting.
Yeah.
Like I talked about in the last episode, how affirmations, as cheesy as they might sound, really helped me when I was in a formative part of my career. And visualization is something I have developed and developed and developed now to the point I reckon I could probably shift a space vehicle, you know, like in Star Wars. I know that's probably an over-exaggeration, but I really I feel like that's a muscle I've developed, and it's something that I've noticed and recognized in other people who are getting good results, is that they often think about things in advance. It's one way I'd frame it,
well,
as, you know, before it happens.
There's actually scientific proof now that your thoughts create physical manifestations, and also more importantly, thoughts create physical changes in your on a cellular level in your body. So, you know, if you're a kind of logical person like me, that's really, really motivating, because you know that by what you think, you can actually change your environment. And it's not a woo-woo thing anymore. You know, it's not like mumbo-jumbo from hippies. So there's a lot of ground to that. And also what I'm noticing, especially, I don't know if it's the same for men, maybe they're not so open in sharing, but with women, what visualization and affirmations do is they help them get back to who they are, because very often when you're taking care of business and the family and husband and this and that, you tend to forget who you are and how smart you are and powerful and how you got a business brain on. And this helps you get back in there. And I know it sounds a little bit cheesy to tell yourself, oh yeah, I come up with great business ideas, I'm a details person, etc., etc. But it actually really gets you back to who you really truly are. And it also helps you identify limiting beliefs, because sometimes things would pop up in your brain that go like, and you go like, really? Was that in there? So yeah, they're really, really powerful.
Yeah, I have no doubt our neck top computer, as Professor Hewitt talks about, is amazing. An amazing device we don't really fully understand, but we're learning more about it all the time. So just back to this, would there be any point writing down your saver routine as something to, you know, to refer to every morning in case you're likely to forget?
Yeah, so in any habit-forming activity, you've got four components, which is very quickly, it's your action. So it's your trigger. You have to have a trigger that triggers the action, which is what you were talking about in terms of writing down your saver's elements in the way you decide to do them. I would suggest also write down by each one how long you're going to spend on, because psychologically that gives you, it makes it an appointment. So you're no longer tempted to skip it because you know it's going to take X amount of time and you've already scheduled it in, and that's it. The other component, so the trigger has to be something that you do already every single morning. So for me, my trigger is after I finish washing up my bulletproof coffee utensils, and then I know I get into my power routine, and that's it. Find something that works that you're already doing and you're doing consistently every single morning that will trigger your sequence, what we call the actions. And then the next element is reward and celebration. I like to lump those two together, even though in popular habit formation psychology, they teach you that they're separate. And the reason why I do that is because reward and celebration need to happen immediately after the action for them to be effective, kind of like with Pavlov's dogs, right? He rings a bell, the dogs come over, he feeds them, and pretty soon he can ring the bell and the dogs just salivate even if the food is not around.
It's amazing how quickly people can be conditioned.
Exactly.
Anyone with animals knows this, or kids.
Oh, kids especially, yeah. No.
Well, a lot of adults are conditioned by their kids. Yeah. You know, like their kids are specialists at this. They do things like shit their nappy or cry
to get your attention.
And, it's, you know, the nervous first-time mum is running over with the food, you know, oh, here's some food and here's some. You know, the kid is a specialist at demanding attention from an adult, and they condition like nobody's business.
So yeah, so basically condition yourself to, you know, to be happy. The point of the reward and celebration is just to associate happy feelings with what you've just done, right? Because establishing a new habit is always not easy. So, or not to use a negative terminology, it's always challenging, or that's also anyway. But the point is to associate happy feelings with what you've just done, and to do it immediately, and do it in a way that feels natural to you, right? So don't do, like Tony Robbins has got that fist pump and he goes, yeah, you know, like that's how he anchors himself. But if that doesn't work for you, then just find something that does. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't for me either.
It doesn't work for me, surprisingly. What works for you?
So for me, so the key is that it could be a feeling, it could be a word, it could be a movement, it could be anything that makes sense to you. For me specifically, because I'm very body-centric, meaning and feeling-centric, for me, every time, let's say, after my meditation, I meditate with music, and the music tapers off after my time is up, usually. So I make a point of hearing the last sound that I could possibly hear. And then I just wait for 3-4 seconds after that just to feel the stillness and, you know, like the happiness that I'm feeling, etc. So that works for me. I know for some people that will probably be like completely woo-woo, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. But, you know, if you feel like doing my perfect example is back in the days of Perfect Strangers, there used to be that comedy series. Balky and Larry used to do this happiness dance. And the two of them, it's completely ridiculous. I insist you include a link to it in the notes below.
Yeah, we'll put it there for sure. Make sure you send it to me. If we were going to do a worksheet for Saver, would it have Saver down the left-hand side and then a time allocation and then a tick box done?
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, for each day of the week?
The accountability, yes. And start with just Monday to Friday, because that's when you most set in your routines and it will be easier for you to just keep to it and leave the Saturday and Sunday free. If you're the kind of person that you just want to do 7 days a week, then that's fine as well. Do them if it's easy for you.
Well, weekends are just days when the surf's more crowded, but it makes no difference to me. We'll get a sheet up there in the resources page. So just a quick recap. In terms of executing this MPR, which is your morning power routine, you're going to play around with the configurations to get the one that's just right using the SAVER acronym talked about in episode one. You will have a trigger that lets you know when it's time to do it. You'll be having a reward / celebration, maybe separate or together. And what was the other? You said there was four things. There was something starting with A.
So that was the action, which is the list of
action.
The SAVER's right. Elements.
The list. And we'll come up with a list that you can access and use that to get started. Be really interesting below this episode on superfastbusiness.com if you want to post how you're going with this. Tell us if you've started doing your MPR, what sort of results you've got, and if you've got any questions for Anita. I'm sure she's going to stop by. And also, if you want to stop by Anita's site, you can check out 1%club.co, and that's 1%club.co. She runs that with Andre Chaperon, and I'm sure that there's a lot of discussion about it in there as well. So, Anita, next episode we're going to be talking about how you can actually review and optimize your MPR and to evolve it for the long term so that you get into the super advanced Yoda level. Is that right?
Yes, and most importantly, I'm going to give you quite a few, well, about 5 super tips so that you make things as easy as possible for you to adopt it as a habit.
I am looking forward to the 5 super tips. We'll see you then.
Thanks, James.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.